In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing out there? This is the Central Valley Sports Report. Found us here on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live at First String Sports like I am every Saturday. Took a couple months off during the summer break, but started up back in August, and we are definitely past the halfway point for most teams in high school football. What's going on today? So there's going to be 2 hours of pure high school talk here on 1430 ESPN. This is the part of the season. Well, a lot of the teams in the Central section had a bye week. So the CMAC all had a bye week. Well, except for Edison and Bakersfield. We're going to get to scores in just a second. But the track had a bye week before they start next Friday. But anyway, we're going to be talking pure high school sport. Maybe a little bit of Fresno State, because there's a Fresno State game tonight live at 7:30 at Valley Children's Stadium against the Kent State. Do you guys know what the Kent State mascot is? Actually, just look this up. The Kent State Golden Flashes. So tonight, Valley Children's Stadium, 7:30. Spread is 27.5 points Kent State's getting, but they are the Golden Flash. I didn't know that until I checked just before the show started. But we are high school heavy here at 1430 ESPN. We were able to broadcast a game last night. Jose Gonzalez and I, Gabe Kemmery and I did pregame, halftime, and postgame show between Tulare Union and Kingsburg at Bob Mathias Stadium. And I tell you what, that was a lot of fun to drive down to Tulare and be at that historical stadium named after one of the greatest athletes of all time. Yes, I said it, of all time. Bob Mathias' story is absolutely phenomenal if you guys are unfamiliar with it. Tulare Union grad, you know, born and raised, graduated high school in 1948. Yeah, and that summer, what did he do? He won the decathlon. He won the decathlon in London, played football at Stanford, won the decathlon the next season or the next Olympics in 1952, was involved in politics. But anyway, it was a lot of fun to go to Bob Mathias Stadium in Tulare. They look super, super strong. Their offense it's clicking right now. Jordan Crisp, their sophomore quarterback, looked really good, especially in the first half when they jumped out to a 35-6 lead. But yeah, Kingsburg, they were, I mean, I'll be honest, right? Kingsburg was 4-0, but they were overmatched in that one. Tulare's athletes took over, but we're going to be talking about that game a little bit with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break. After Gabe, I'm bringing in Austin Kemp. Austin Kemp was a partner of mine when I had a podcast before I got the gig here at 1430 ESPN. We ran a podcast and a website called the Clovis Sports Report and morphed into the Central Valley Sports Report right now. But Austin and I, we worked together for 2 years and we had a lot of fun. So Austin and I are going to be breaking down the track, a track preview, track football preview. We're talking with him about, you know, back in the day, he played for Buchanan. What was playing in the track like, graduating in 2011? And, you know, how has the track evolved? Obviously, schools go through different periods of being dominant or being dormant or not being very good. And so the ebbs and flows of all high school football is very evident in the track. So looking forward to talk to Austin after Gabe Camarillo at the bottom of hour number one. And then we're bringing him back in the top of hour number two to talk more high school sports throughout the Central section. At the bottom of hour number two, CJ Lester, head coach at Dinuba High. His Emperors are currently 3-2. They're going to be playing Hanford this coming week. He's a friend of the show. He's actually going to be coming on via the old-fashioned telephone call. He's got a lot of stuff going on down there in Dinuba. I think he's at a parade right now. Parade kicked off at 10 o'clock. So happy to have CJ on at the bottom of hour number two. You can follow me on Twitter, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You could also follow at 1430 ESPN. I want to give a big shout-out to First String Sports here on Blackstone Avenue. They are my day one sponsors. They do an incredible job here. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. If you're watching on Facebook or if you've seen pictures, we've got the ESPN Radio 1430 banner behind me. We've got the First String Sports banner behind me. We've got the beautiful Letterman's Jackets. Looking at Letterman's Jackets from Sanger, Clovis West. There's Fresno Christian right there, Woodlake, Central, Kalinga, Bullard, Kerman, Sierra High. They are your Letterman's Jacket headquarters. Coming down here to First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue. You know where it is, between Herndon and Sierra Avenue. Also want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring 1430 ESPN and our wonderful student athletes. Right now, the temperature of 66 degrees, a high of 86 today. Kickoff tonight is going to be 79 degrees at Fresno State, 7:30, 79 degrees. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. I want to give a little shout out right now. Today is September 23rd, the year of our Lord, 2023. And why is that important? Well, it's my wedding anniversary. Yeah. And it's very easy to figure out how many years I've been with Lori, because we're married in the year 2000. So whatever the last two numbers say in the year, that's how many years I've been married. So happy 23rd anniversary to my wife, Lori. She may be listening, maybe not. Sometimes she chimes in. Every once in a while, she'll give me a little, you know, a little tip, like your volume's a little too low, or I can't hear you very well. Different things like that throughout shows. So, you know, when you got a great wife that supports you, or a spouse that supports you in your activities and your passions like she does, it just makes life great. So happy anniversary today. Lori, and yes, we are going to the Fresno State football game tonight with a bunch of friends. So that's an annual tradition. Anyway, happy anniversary to my wife. All right. Big news of the day. I want to cover a little bit before we get into some scores. Donnie Arax, the longtime coach at Bullard, was let go on Thursday of his position of coaching football at Bullard High School. Fresno Unified sent out a press release. I want to read just a tiny bit of it to give you guys some information of the official release. So it quotes, Bullard High School's head coach Don Arax has been released from his role with the team. We cannot provide details on personal matters, but would like to clarify he has not been fired and will retain his teaching position. The Bullard Knights football team will move forward with athletic director Brandon Gilbert serving as interim head coach. Gilbert has previously spent years serving as the team's defensive coordinator, and we know the players and coaching staff will be in good hands. All right, lots of things to unpack here. We're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about this after the break as well, but Bullard was 1-4. Their 1-1 was against Tulare Western. Had two really close games against track schools. That one-point loss, 21-20 to Clovis West. And I believe it ended up 35-28 to Clovis, where they were ahead 28-21. All right, so 1-4 heading into CMAC play and the bye week this week, and then CMAC. All right, so it's quite a shock when a high school coach is relieved of their duties midway through a year. I was assured that it wasn't anything, you know, that needed investigating or anything of that nature. They just made the decision to move on, and they felt like the Bullard administration felt like this was the time to do it. Now, you guys know Coach Arax is, you know, he's a popular figure among a lot of Bullard faithful. A lot of players, you know, on social media were quick to his defense. Thanks, Coach, for teaching me life lessons. Thanks, Coach, for pushing me, for making the man that I am today. A lot of ex-football players who went on to play college said, Coach prepared me for the next level. And I've seen it firsthand. I've seen how tough of a coach Coach Arax is. I've also seen him pull kids aside and have, you know, life talks with them. I've heard stories of that. He has a record of 178-128 and one tie, according to Bob Barnett, Central Section historian. You know, that great 2009 team that he had that went 13-0 is Bullard's first D1 Central Section title. A couple years ago in 2021, they had that great team that I thought was a Division I team, ended up being the top seed in Division II, beat Bakersfield, has those two Central Section championships. And I want to let everybody know, too, I actually had Coach Arax lined up to come on the show today. I did. And I booked it on Wednesday. I texted him Wednesday morning. I said, Coach Arax, I've never been on my show. You've been very kind to me, very welcoming to me at practices. Do you have time to come on the show? He said, no problem. I said, I'd love to have you on for two segments. No problem. So that was Wednesday morning. Wednesday night, I went to their practice and watched the end of their practice as usual. Got to sit in his office and talk with him for about 45 minutes. Walked around his office. First time in his office. Walked around, saw those great pictures. Saw the picture of his father from 1950. Played for Fresno High, went on to play USC. And for those of you that don't know, it's well documented, but his father was murdered when Donnie was 7 years old. His brother Mark was 15 years old. The case was unsolved. So he's living an incredible life. And we were going to explore not only football at Boulder, football throughout the Central Section, all that great stuff that Donnie is so good at. But I asked him permission we could get a little more personal. I get people to know him. He said, yeah, no problem. I'm an open book. So that was Wednesday. And then Thursday night, I'm doing more research, and I get a few texts. I'm starting to get texts from people like, hey, I'm hearing stuff about Coach Arox being let go. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? Is this true? And sure enough, right, after talking to other few people and then finally seeing the press release from Fresno Unified, he's been let go of his duties. So that was quite a shock. That was quite a shock. So we're going to be able to hear Coach Arox's story in due time. So we thought it best to cool off for a while and let him tell his side of the story and, you know, give him a voice. But we also want to be sensitive to the situation and sensitive to, you know, Bullard. We want to keep great relationships with all our schools in the Central Section. So anyway, Coach Arox, you know, he's a lightning rod. Let's be honest. And he's always up for a conversation. And I know he was on the forefront too during COVID. He led that coaches coalition to get kids on the field because he saw what it was doing to student athletes, to students everywhere. And man, the kids needed to play football, and he put himself out there. He certainly did. So, you know, it's just an interesting situation that's going on with Bullard and the coach, you know, athletic director Brandon Gilbert, who's the defensive coordinator during that great 2021 team, is going to be taking over the team. But definitely something to keep an eye on. So, sensitive subject. So I appreciate you guys, listening and hearing, you know, we'll eventually hear what's truly going on with that situation. All right, let's get to some scores here before we bring on Gabe Camarillo after the break. So there were a couple Thursday games, a couple really good ones. Bakersfield Christian defeated Tulare Western 21-0. And you guys know who the head coach at Bakersfield Christian is. Well, that's Darren Carr, the brother of Derek and David Carr. Torres beat McLean. We talked a lot about McLean. We've had Andrew Pancotti on the show, but Torres got a really good ball club. They beat McLean at McLean 39-14. That was Thursday. So last night, like I mentioned earlier, the track schools were on a bye. Edison played Bakersfield. That was the only CMAC school that was in action. But in East Sequoia League play, Corcoran defeated Woodlake 33-20. Orange Cove defeated Granite Hills 52-7. Orosi defeated Lindsay 17-0, and Strathmore all over Farmersville 56-0. In the Mountain League, Arroyo Grande with an upset, or was it an upset? They beat St. Joe's 28-10. So Arroyo Grande has now jumped into the discussion as being a Division I level team in Division I playoffs. St. Joe's was ranked, I don't know, 10 or 11 or so, and they fell after losing to Arroyo Grande. In the North Yosemite League, Hoover, the Patriots defeated Fresno. They were down in that one, but they ended up coming back, beating Fresno 34-14. Sanger West beat Madera South 22-14. Sunnyside defeated Roosevelt 65-30. In South Sequoia League action, Chavez defeated McFarland 42-14. Kennedy, in a tight one, defeated Delano 28-26. I believe Delano came back and scored a touchdown and went for two in the tie and wasn't able to get it. Shafter was down to Taft 9-0 early, but of course those Generals came back, defeated Taft 41-16. A non-league action, that Edison and Bakersfield game that I mentioned earlier ended up being all drillers. They beat Edison 41-21. So Edison loses by 20 and now have five games in a row in the CMAC. Dos Pelas defeated Chowchilla 29-21. Exeter defeated a previously undefeated Porterville team 17-12. Lemoore defeated South 40-0. Mendota over Emmanuel 35-19. Scroll down a little bit. Sierra Pacific, how about those guys? 49-0 over Kern Valley. They are now 5-0 on the season. Tehachapi, strong, strong team this year. They beat Golden West 41-17. Golden West is now 0-5, but they've played in some really tight games. Tulare Union, the game that we were able to broadcast on 1430 ESPN, 42, Kingsburg 12. Talking about that with Gabe Camarillo after the break. Washington Union defeated Kalinga. I was surprised by this one on the road, 21-20. So coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about those scores and more on 1430 ESPN. Everybody out there, thank you guys for tuning in and listening. Perhaps you're driving around on this fine Saturday morning, going to Home Depot or making some Costco runs, getting some stuff out of the way. It's going to be a beautiful day. High of, what did I say, 86 degrees. Kickoff tonight, Valley Children's Stadium. Going to be 79 degrees, 7:30. Can't wait for that. It's going to be very, very exciting. Something that I love to do on the show is I like to talk about things that happen off the field. You know, feel-good stories that you might not know about, that might not make the news, so to speak. You know, just great little tidbits to, you know, get you through the day sometimes, and, you know, call it beyond the game. And, you know, it's always good to give back. It's always good to give back to either your high school, your elementary school that you grew up with, especially if you've had a lot of success. And found that at McLean High School. Mitchell Davis Shashere is the basketball coach. He's in his third year. And his brother Andre, who I've had on the show, is a really good football player. Played at Clovis West and San Jose State, went undrafted. And I think he's been signed to eight different teams. So he's been bumped from practice squad to practice squad to the active roster. He's on the Eagles roster last year and the year before. But he's found a home in Arizona, playing for the Cardinals, and it started the first couple games of the season. So, you know, Andre decided to give back to his brother and to McLean High School. So he was able to donate some basketball shoes to the high school team. So that, I thought that was really, really, really cool. He also donates his time. I read that Andre actually gives his Instagram account, or people can follow him on his Instagram account, but they can send his players for McLean, his brother's players, can send him messages. And Andre will respond in kind and send words of encouragement. So I thought that was really, really cool. So hats off to Mitchell Davis Shashere, McLean basketball coach, and his brother Andre for giving back to the community. All right, I'm going to bring in Gabe Camarillo. You guys know Gabe. Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. He's my partner in crime for the post-game show, the pre-game show, and the halftime show when we broadcast games on 1430 ESPN. Produces my show, does an incredible job. He's a great Twitter follower, does an amazing job with videos and tweeting out information, not only about high school, but about Fresno State as well. And Gabe and I, we took the drive. Gabe and Gonzo drove. I drove separately, but we all made it to Bob Mathias Stadium in Tulare for the big Tulare and Kingsburg game. That was a game that I thought could go either way. I actually thought Tulare had the advantage in this one, watching them in the second half of their win against Justin Garza. They look really strong, especially that offense. But Tulare took it to them, 42-12. Gabe Camarillo was there on the field taking some videos, talking to people, talking to alumni of the school about some of the greats of Tulare Union past. So, Gabe, first of all, how cool was it to be at that stadium and that beautiful sunset that we took a picture of, being on the fields for some of the greats, and just, you know, the atmosphere in Tulare in general?
So let me tell you a funny story going back about 2 years. I had a friend in Tulare, and I told them I wanted to do one thing in Tulare more than anything else. And they asked me, go to the Tulare outlets? I said, no. They said, do you want to go to the park? I said, no, take me to Bob Mathias Stadium. I need to see what this thing looks like. That was 2 years ago. I just drove outside of it, but finally getting the chance to be inside of Bob Mathias Stadium and step on that field and that turf. And like you mentioned, I talked to several alums of Tulare Union High School because it was homecoming. Just a very, really cool experience. And to see Tulare Union win the way they did at home, I know that it was a great atmosphere for everyone involved.
No, it was. And you know, my first time at that stadium, and they don't have stadium parking per se, so people were parking on the streets. It was in a residential area. It was just as I imagined. As for the game, Gabe, were we a little shocked by the final score? Were we a little shocked by that first half that Tulare Union offense put on Kingsburg?
A little bit, but you look at how Tulare Union's played, and it doesn't surprise you. They've averaged 50 points a game. Jordan Crisp, as a sophomore now, I believe his starting record is 7-2 since he took over last year in the middle of the season. He just seems like a winner. He seems like a guy who's under control at all times. He makes the right decision. What I'm most impressed with is how he handles pressure, how he creates when there's nothing there. Several times, Kingsburg had him flushed out of the pocket. Kingsburg had chances for sacks, but how come they couldn't sack him? It's because Jordan Crisp was able to get rid of the ball right before he went down, or because he was able to break a tackle, break a sack before he picks up 10, 15 yards with his legs. I saw him do that a number of times, and you look at the final stat sheet, and it shows Crisp had 30 rushing yards, and I think 15 of them are on one play. And then he had 330 passing yards and two touchdowns. So also super efficient, too. He was 19-23 when it came to completion percentage. So he's just a very efficient, very smart sophomore quarterback.
And looking at the stats from his other games, that seems like that's just par for the course for Crisp. I think he came in to that game with a 73% completion percentage, which, 19 for 23, that's only going to help it just a little bit. But, watching him on the field, Gabe, from your perspective, there were some wow moments from the press box. But I wonder, he is not your prototypical quarterback. Right? He's 5'9", 200 pounds. Wears number 10, but if you were to look at him on the field and maybe he had number 80, you'd think, man, yeah, this guy is probably an offensive lineman. But, he's strong, but that kid can certainly sling it. He puts the ball on the spot.
Yeah, well, he's 5'9", 200, and I don't know how many quarterbacks are those dimensions, but I don't know how many quarterbacks have the arm that Crisp has. He's a really strong passer, and what I think makes Crisp even better is the athletes he has around him. You mentioned how Tulare Union kind of out-athleted Kingsburg a little bit just with some of the swing passes and even on a couple of deep shots. You just saw the Tulare Union guy get open. Braden Stevenson had a huge touchdown catch over a Kingsburg defender. It kind of was like an episode of You Got Mossed, I would say. You got Sonny Guest catching a couple swing passes and making them into something. Tyler Peterson is one of my favorite running backs down there. Just a guy who is kind of like a Christian McCaffrey, just because McCaffrey can catch the ball and run the ball equally as well. That's how I would describe Tyler Peterson. So, yeah, you got this rock star Tulare Union offense. The big question was, can they play defense? They gave up 42 points to Redwood in their only loss. Well, I think they played defense, only giving up 12 to Kingsburg.
Yeah, and they only gave up a touchdown in the first half, and did a good job of bottling up the Kingsburg wide receivers for sure. They weren't able to get separation against that Tulare Union defense. So, Gabe, I want to ask you a little bit about the rankings. Obviously, a lot of the teams are up and down the central section. We're on bye weeks this week, but hey, you hit the refresh button on Cal Preps for the rankings and they seem to be minutes, but there's Clovis North sitting at number one. There's Clovis East at two, which is interesting, and Liberty at three. Clovis West is at four, Sanger at five, Central at six, Frontier at seven, Buchanan at eight, CVC at nine, and Clovis is at 10. Any thoughts on that? We know that Clovis North and Clovis East are going to be suiting up and playing each other next Friday. So, yeah, any surprises there or any teams of note in those top 10?
I think Clovis East and Liberty have very interesting arguments to be ahead of the other. So Clovis East has a 3-touchdown win over Sanger. Sanger's number 5 in the section. Liberty has a 3-touchdown win over Central, and Central's number 6 in the section. So I think you're really going to be splitting hairs between Clovis East and Liberty, but let me tell you why Liberty is going to be the biggest Clovis North fans this upcoming Friday. The Patriots really want Clovis North to win, because if Clovis East wins, Clovis East will be the undisputed number 1 team in the section, and Clovis North will be the undisputed number 2 team in the section. There's no way that Liberty will be ahead of Clovis North in any rankings, Cal Preps, mine, yours, because Clovis North beat a Jay Serra team from the Trinity League. And last I saw, Liberty lost to a Trinity League school by 20 points.
No, exactly. And yeah, that game is going to be huge. Can't wait to track that game and talk about that game all week, thinking about Clovis East and Clovis North. But there's a lot of other good track games out there. But Gabe, I mentioned it in my opener about Coach Arax, and it's a hot topic, and it's not a fun one to talk about, but I think it must be discussed in certain capacity. But different opinions about Coach Arax, right? And everybody has opinions about different coaches, but man, and from what I've seen, he's been nothing but kind and open. I remember when I worked for the for the Clovis Roundup newspaper. I called him to talk about another team, and I wasn't sure what I was going to get. And Donnie talked my ear off for about a half an hour about other teams. He didn't discuss himself, only when I asked. And just, I don't know, he's always been, you know, an honest guy. But, you know, just talk about the, you know, letting go of a high-profile coach in the middle of the season, the shock, and how a program moves on from there.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I'd rather spend this time giving Donnie Abrax his flowers. I feel like lot of us haven't really done that. Throughout this whole process, he won 178 games going to his 28th year at Bullard High School. That's not something many coaches can say they did. He also won a Valley Championship at Bullard High School, and you can say that he kind of restored them to what they were back in the 70s and 80s when they had all those great players, all those great teams, you know, Kevin Sweeney. He brought kind of that back when he stepped into the program at the end of the last century. So I feel like Don Arax is such a big figure in Fresno sports, not just in high school football, but if you were to ask someone just walking down the street, especially down this street here at Palm Avenue, you'll definitely run into somebody who knows Don Arax. I feel like Arax, what his biggest contribution was to the Central Valley was his honesty and the way that he coached young men, not just on his football team, but in his PE classes. He demanded the best from them, just like in the future their employers will demand the best of them. You know, he prepared young men for the real world, which I think should be the goal of every single high school football coach. So for that, Donnie Rex has all my respect. Honestly, you know, whatever comes out of why he left, it's not going to change the way that I look at Donnie Rex. I don't mind saying that.
No, absolutely. And there's countless stories about how he's helped kids get to the next level, and you know, he knows what it's like to struggle. And so he was a champion. Let's frame it this way. He was a champion of the kids. He wanted the best for kids, and he knew what it takes to make it in life and to succeed in life. And so, yeah, we wish Donnie the best moving forward. And we know, gosh, the Araxes, they don't disappear for a while. He'll bounce back just as strong as ever. But Gabe, good job by you. Hey, what time did you get home last night? We finally ended up leaving by 10:40. Last night to drive home to Fresno. What time did you get home?
I got home about a bit before midnight.
Okay, not bad, not bad, not bad. All right. So what do you got going the rest of the day? Big Fresno State game tonight, right?
Yeah, well, I'll be looking at these Cal Preps rankings. I really, like I said earlier, Liberty, if Clovis East wins, Liberty's going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. That's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unless another track team beats Clovis North or Clovis East. So I'll be breaking down the scenarios for high school football for this afternoon, and then I'll probably be driving over to Valley Children's Stadium to watch Fresno State play.
All right, can't wait to check out your updated rankings, and you do a great job of putting them in divisions and separating things for everybody to look at. Thanks, Gabe. Appreciate you.
All right, thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Austin Kemp, our track preview. Who are the teams to watch? Who are some of the players to watch? Maybe a little bit about his playing days back in the day playing for Buchanan. Next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. If you guys miss any part of any conversations, you could go to the 1430ESPNFresno.com website under podcast. You can listen to Home Field Advantage. Just heard from Gabe Camarillo. He's got a phenomenal show. I listen to the show every day driving home from work. Listen to Jose Gonzalez show in the morning, 7 to 10, Bulldog Hour with the trusted voice of Tony D. Hey, you can go back and listen to my show if you ever miss anything as well. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to do. I know sometimes you pop in for 10 minutes or here and there 20 minutes here, but you know, 2 hours can be a long sit. But if you guys listen to any part of the show, I really, really appreciate all of you. Appreciate the feedback that you give. We love high school sports. We love to talk about kids. We love to talk about the teams. We got positive vibes here at 1430 ESPN. We're all about the student athletes. I want to bring on one of my partners in crime in the past, Austin Kemp. We had a podcast for 2 years, right?
Yeah, about 2 years.
2 years podcast, 2 years of a website called the Clovis Sports Report. It was then morphed into the Central Valley Sports Report when I got the call from 1430 ESPN. Played baseball and football at Buchanan. Graduated in 2011. We've had a lot of good times, Austin, over the years talking about high school sports. But is it? I mean, First String Sports feels familiar. We did a couple shows here in this Letterman's jacket room.
We did. It feels good to be back on the microphone with you. It's been a while. The last time I think I was here is when we were doing our All Clovis football show, which was a huge hit. And I'm excited to be back with you talking.
And we did it against that wall. What are we facing? We're facing north right now. Mm-hmm. But we did it against, you know, the Sanger Letterman's Jacket Liberty right there. We did it against that wall. Yeah, we did it. I don't know. At that time, we were humming along pretty good. But at the beginning, we're just like, hey, let's get together and talk high school sports. We'll make videos on YouTube. Yep, right? We kind of didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have any microphones or anything.
We started out in your yellow painted dining room with our iPhone on a tripod. And then we transitioned to your garage with all the pinball machines and arcade games.
Yeah.
And now we are in First String Sports in an actual studio. So it's like we kind of got called up to the major league.
You've been
up for a while, and I just recently got called up.
You're right. The yellow, it's been painted since then, Austin.
Okay.
Just
okay.
You know.
I haven't been back in a couple years, so I haven't seen the update.
We had no idea, you know, how it was going to take off. But it became a pretty big thing. But you know, you've been around high school sports for a long time. You know, you played at Buchanan, and you're just a fan. You know, over the years. You know, the track has been up and down. You know, that Central had that dominance for a while. And, you know, Clovis East had that dominance. All the schools have had some type of a dominating time for a few years. Some schools have been pretty low at times. Think about Clovis East a few years ago. Had that huge losing streak, and now Clovis East is one of the top teams. Do you feel like this year is one of the most balanced you've seen in a long time? Like, I would not be surprised by any score on any given Friday night.
No, I 100% agree. This is the most competitive the track has been in years. You could even say maybe a decade or two, because when you mention teams having highs and lows, there's nobody having a down year in the track right now. If we're just being honest, for many years it was Clovis East. There was a 10-year period where they were going to finish last, and that's what it was.
And if you had them on the schedule, right? Let's be honest. Yeah. The kids are like, "Oh yeah, that's a win." You didn't have to really think about it.
And that's what history shows. They lost almost every track game for a number amount of years.
Yeah.
This year, everybody's competitive. You can't look at a certain program and say, "Oh, they're super down," because it just doesn't exist. And so what that creates is just a ton of fascinating games from a week to week basis. Every single week, I think you're going to be able to look at the track schedule and say, like, ooh, there's a good game. There's a good game. Like, there's a coin flip here and there of who will win. So this is the most competitive I think the track has been, and it's going to be so fun to follow the next 5 weeks.
No, it is. Yeah, it is. And we're definitely here for it. And you know, we're going to be talking about each team in just a second here. You know, I think the balance just makes the track more – right, it makes it more interesting. And I think that win, that Clovis North win over Jay Serra, resonated not only in our central section, like, oh my gosh, yeah, hey, a track team beat a Trinity League team, but it resonated up and down the state as well. You know, we follow Cal High Sports and SB Live and those places. So how big of a win was that, you think, for the track in the Central Valley to beat a Trinity? I mean, I don't know, it wasn't Modern Day, it wasn't St. John Bosco, wasn't De La Salle, right? But however, it's a big-time school down there.
No, for sure. I mean, anytime you can beat a Southern Section team, I think people are going to take note of it. And not just any Southern Section Trinity League team, but they were ranked in the top 10 in the state, according to Cal High Sports. And I was at that game. I was watching. And honestly, I don't really think the two teams were that close either. I think Clovis North could have won by more points because they had missed a field goal. They had gotten stopped on fourth and goal from the one-yard line. That game could have been 20-plus point victory margin. So anytime you can beat a state ranked team, it's gonna resonate here in the Central Valley, and it boosted Clovis North up quite a bit too, because I think they're checking in the top 10 now, according to Cal High as well.
Yeah, they're I think one of them had them at 12, so they, you know, just outside the top 10, at least one of them. Do you think, Austin, I'm going to talk about the teams in just a second, but I'm just more curious because you were at that game. Was there a sense of like shock, you think, on the Jay Serra sideline? We're just like, oh no, these dudes are better than us. Like, what feeling did you get from the Jay Serra side, even after the game?
Yeah,
too?
just kind of watching it. So from my perspective, that whole Jay Serra's whole offense just ran through who their quarterback was. I don't know his name, but super athletic. He had quite an arm. But if he couldn't do anything, if he couldn't get outside the pocket or hit an open guy, They couldn't do much. And Clovis North, it took them about a drive to figure that out. And once they did, they kept him in the pocket. He couldn't really scramble. He couldn't really – they took away his throwing lanes. And maybe you could see Jay Sarah, they were getting frustrated. But I feel like Coach will never admit this, but it felt like Clovis North knew that they were going to – they could come in and kind of bully him a little bit. And they were playing with their hair on fire, and it was fun to watch. The confidence was insane on that Clovis North sideline that night.
And I think that's definitely going to carry on to track play. I want to go over each team. We're going to do it in alphabetical order, right? So these aren't predictions, the order that I bring these teams in. It's in alphabetical order. So we start with the B. Right? Yep. Now the other schools start with the C. We're going to start with Buchanan. They're 2-3. I didn't know what to expect, Austin. Let's be honest, and I think most people didn't. Obviously, Mandel graduates and goes to Fresno State, graduates early, lose one of the top quarterbacks in him, in not only in section but in the state. And Michael Runnels was a really good running back that we watched for 3 years on varsity, and O'Toole is a really good wide receiver. So they're all question marks coming into Buchanan. 2-3. However, they competed against Liberty, only lost 35-30. What's your thoughts about Buchanan?
Yeah, kind of like you, I don't want to say I wrote them off early, but maybe I unfairly, questioned the quarterback too much because I really did not know what to expect coming into the year, like who's going to play quarterback for Buchanan. They just lost Jaden Mandel. He's at Fresno State. And I think I just unfairly probably wrote them off a little bit too much, but we know who the quarterback is now. It's Logan Sanchez. And he's a pretty good high school quarterback. I mean, I have it written down here. He's 63% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So he doesn't turn the ball over. And I've seen them Buchanan twice this year. And I would just say he does exactly what the coaches ask him to do. And when you're in a run heavy offense, when you have a good defense, that's kind of all you need to do.
Couple, star players too that have caught my attention. Austin Finnegan, a sophomore. We saw him on varsity baseball last year. That kid, he was ready for varsity sports as a freshman, physically and mentally as well. Carvell Wafer, a freshman, is going to be a really good baseball player, another baseball guy. He's impressed. He's got a lot of speed. So, yeah, Buchanan, they're going to be in every game because of that offensive line. They start track against Clovis West at Veterans. Then they got that old Thursday game against Central. It's, there's always one of those.
That Clovis West game is going to be very interesting because, like you just mentioned, the offensive line for Buchanan is very good. And we'll see. We'll see what a spread team can do against it.
And then they've got Clovis and then Clovis North and Clovis East at home to finish the season. All right, next on the list is Central 4-1. Started off 4-0. We said we're going to learn a lot when they play at Liberty, and they lost 35-14. When you got Coach Kyle Biggs, right, when you look across the field and you see Biggs, you know you're going to be in for a tough game. Again, like Buchanan, we didn't know who their quarterback was, but I think Biggs knew all along their guy was going to be Earl Riley. He's throwing the ball really well. Braylon Hall, I would say pound for pound, I think he's the best receiver in the Central section, arguably. A little question marks on running backs, but they got a couple young guys. But yes, Central's going to be there as well. Don't forget the Grizzlies.
Yeah, they had a lot of holes too coming into the year. A lot of inexperience at key positions, like quarterback you just mentioned. With Coach Biggs, though, I feel like maybe I just gave him, and rightfully so, I just give him kind of the benefit of the doubt every year because he's proven it. He can put out a championship team every single year, and I know his teams are going to play hard. They're going to play physical. So yeah, they were replacing a quarterback, but in the back of my hand, I just assumed it's like Coach Biggs, he's going to get it right. And, Earl Riley, he not a ton of experience, but he's played pretty well so far. Maybe he turns the ball over a little bit too much right now, but I mean, that's just going to come with inexperience. And the more games you play, the more reps you get, that'll be ironed out. But again, he's thrown 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. You want to see that kind of cut back, but like you said, it's a lot easier when you got a guy like Braylon Hall you're throwing it to.
Yeah, he's a very talented receiver. So Central opens with Clovis at home. Then three Thursday games with Central. They got Buchanan away the next week on Thursday. That's October 6th, and Clovis East. And then finish with Clovis West. And then Clovis North. Man, these games are going to be – they're going to be tough games, and that last game against Clovis North is definitely going to be a great one. Okay, so moving on to Clovis, they are 4-1. There they are. Their only loss is to the Sanger in week two. To Sanger in week two. The schedule, a little bit of question marks, right? That's a tough Garces team to open up the season on that Thursday. And then the Sanger loss, and then Whitney and Salinas, and then Bullard. But Cougars got a really good quarterback. Noah Luganbill is an excellent linebacker / running back as well. But there's some talent, but, you know, they might not have as much juice as some of the other schools, but they're going to be in every game as well.
Yeah, so I've seen Deegan Rose, the quarterback, play a few times, sophomore. And if you're just talking about pure talent, he's probably the best. The most talented quarterback in the section if you're just looking at raw skills. He can make every single throw. He's got the size. He's athletic. You can tell week to week, too, and obviously this is going to be the case with the sophomore, and he played as a freshman as well. But when you're young, again, it's just all about reps, and he's starting to correct things that maybe he wasn't doing early in the season. And we saw that Sanger game. He threw a couple bad interceptions.
Yeah.
And he'll even admit those were probably bad. He shouldn't have thrown those balls, but he's learned from those, and he's not making those throws anymore. And, you know, when you have the most talented quarterback, especially in a high school game, you're going to be in every single one. Like, you can never be counted out because it's going to be assumed that you're going to score those points. And like you said, I love Noah Luganbill, a running back, super physical, and kind of a great complement to having a quarterback who can spread a defense out. Because then, you know, once those safeties start backing up a little bit, once the corners back up a little bit, you start getting a lighter box, and Luganbill can kind of pound it a little bit.
He can pound it, but that dude gets like 13, 14, sometimes 15 tackles a game.
No,
that guy 100%. Doesn't come off the field.
No, grinder.
He is an absolute grinder. And I think, awesome what you said about Deegan Rose throwing the football too. It's like, you know, as a quarterback, as a coach, right, when you see him attempt some of those throws, that's like a no. Okay, that one worked out, right? But you love the aggressiveness. You love a quarterback to think he thinks he can make every throw, right? You like those kind of dudes. But, you know, you got to, you know, the reps. The reps will come. Again, he's only a sophomore. He's only going to get better. Has an offer from Utah.
Yep.
We see what Nate Johnson
and
is doing for Utah.
There's going to be more offers coming, too.
Clovis. Yep. There's going to be more offers. And that was fun. What was that last week that Nate played the full game, right, and had like 230 yards passing for Utah and rushing touchdowns. So another Clovis alum doing great things. All right, moving on to Clovis East. You know, the Timberwolves are 5-0. A lot of people questioned their schedule. That tough game against Sanger, they proved the law was 14-14 at half, went on to win that one. That Provo Utah, people kind of dismissed that game, but that was a really good Provo Utah game, Utah team that they beat. And then the Kerman game, that's one of the question marks, right? We love Coach Jenkins. He's done an incredible job, but, you know, Clovis East is the number two in the central section, but Clovis East got some talent this year.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Gabe a few weeks ago on his show, and I kind of want to just repeat this phrase because I think it just fits so well. But when you watch their quarterback, Tyus Miller, play, I feel like he is the most in-control player in the section. You know, he's completing passes, you know, 60%, but 18 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. He knows exactly where to go with the ball, and he does it at a high level. And then on the flip side, he's pretty athletic too, because he can run, and he has a little bit over 200 rushing yards this year, and for being a guy who can kind of sling it, that's just an added element that you have to prepare for as a defense. So Clovis East and that receiver, Harold Duvall, we have Tommy Nix, got those guys, both 500 plus receiving yards or close to it right now. There's a lot of talent, and you got a guy behind center who knows exactly where to go with it.
And he started as a freshman. We saw a few of those freshman games where, man, he was, let's be honest, he was beat up a little bit in that backfield, but he would pop right back up and get that next play and get right after
it. And he's not the biggest guy in the world. Like, when you watch him, and again, another comparison I made was, you know, Deegan Rose and Tyus Miller right now reminds me a lot of Trent Tompkins and Adrian Martinez when they were playing in the track. And Deegan, like Adrian, he was getting a ton of offers. Pac-12 schools, Big Ten schools, I'm sure will be coming soon for Rose. But Tyus Miller, kind of like Trent Tompkins, a little bit undersized.
Yeah.
Maybe not the recruiting pedigree, but just an absolute winner and a baller, honestly.
And fun to watch as well. We got a couple minutes here before we hit the break with Austin Camp. We are going to continue our talk after the break. Can't have Austin on for one segment. Got to have him on for two. All right, let's talk a little bit about Clovis North. We talked about them a lot at the beginning of the conversation. They got some dudes. They got that running back combination of Jackson Sinville and McKay Mattson, who, heck, show me a better one up and down the state. I'm serious. I'd like to see it. But those two guys are absolute beasts, and you've seen them up close in that offensive line. But they're rolling, aren't they?
They're rolling. I love watching North play the game. They're physical. They're tough. They're well-coached. Jackson Sinfeld, McKay Mattson, you do, like, those guys come downhill at you 30-plus times a game, and that is not fun for a defense, because not only are those two guys physical, but they have the breakaway speed. They can run away from you. And I would say Clovis North – like I said, Tyus Miller individually might be the most in-control player. I think Clovis North is the most in-sync team with what they do on offense, because they know their identity. They know they're going to run the ball. They know they're going to do it at a high level. But when they need to throw, it's a lot of play action, a lot of rollouts to get guys open. And their quarterback, Mario Cosma, he's completing 75% of his passes. So it's efficient. They're always ahead of the sticks. And that is so hard for a defense to defend. And when you're running the ball, when your passing game is efficient, it's good luck.
Absolutely. Vince Branstetter has done a phenomenal job as the offensive coordinator. Coach Mike Jaycott is the CEO of the program, right? He's the director of sport at Clovis. All right, Austin, you want to run a little bit more after the break? Talk about Clovis West and much, much more?
I'm down.
All right, I'm down too. All right, coming up after the break, more with Austin Kemp on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. You found us here on 1430 ESPN. Obviously, you can listen on the radio, right? Pretty easy, driving around the car, or maybe you got an old radio that you got next to your chair and listening to it that way. You can listen on the phone as well. You can download the 1430 ESPN app. You can listen online. Just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. There's a listen live button that I do. I remember one time, I think it was during the baseball season, I was listening to Jose Gonzalez and Mike Brink broadcast a baseball game, and I had it on my phone walking through Fashion Fair Mall with my daughter and my wife holding up. I didn't even have my AirPods in. I was holding up to my ear. I probably looked like a real weirdo listening to a high school baseball game walking through Fashion Fair. But yeah, I do that. I do that kind of stuff. So you can listen in lots of different ways. Really appreciate you guys for tuning in. We love high school sports here on 1430 ESPN. Just had one segment with Austin Kemp, my former partner of crime at the Clovis Sports Report. Wrote a little bit for the Fresno Bee as well.
I did back for about 2 years.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun being with Andy Bogard and kind of that crew. It was a good time.
Yeah, I remember seeing your name. I'm like, man, who's this new guy? Who's this young guy? Austin Kemp writing for the Fresno Bee. But, yeah, Austin and I teamed up, and we're previewing track football right now. We got one more team to talk about before we get into some more logistical things, like maybe predictions, right? Who is the top team right now? What are some of the games to look forward to? And I know Austin played at Buchanan. So, yeah, a little bit of history there as well. I know, there's a really intriguing NFL game I mentioned off air. So the New Orleans Saints with Derek Carr playing the Green Bay Packers. I don't remember who's home. Do you remember who's home in that one?
I'm not sure.
So Derek Carr, obviously with the Bakersfield roots, graduated from Bakersfield Christian High. And then Jordan Love graduated from Liberty. I was able to watch him beat Clovis in 2015 Central Section D1 championship game. Went to Utah State, starting for the Packers, coached by Brian Nixon. Brian Nixon also coached Cody Kessler when he played at Centennial. So Bakersfield connection in the NFL this weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But Austin, we got one more team to talk about. We talked about Buchanan and Central and Clovis East and Clovis North. But Golden Eagles of Clovis West, we know their history, right, with those great Wing T teams in the past and a lot of football stars from that program. And they had when Eric Brown took over, they had a resurgence. Mm-hmm. And you know what they did last year going into the semifinals as the number one seed, returned a lot of players, a lot of skill players from this year's teams. A lot of with that came a lot of expectations, mm-hmm. right? They are 4-1. They are 4-1, have wins over Turlock, Lemoore, Bullard, and Essen. That opening season lost to a pretty good St. Mary's team up north, but there's no denying the talent that, the Golden Eagles have, is there?
No, they have a ton of talent. It's all well documented. You know, they have, what, five Division One players who are committed, right? And, you know, that comes with expectations. And they're not unfair. I came from a baseball program who had expectations every single year because there was D1 players galore. And sometimes you don't live up to it, and it's fair. So this is their turn. They have five D1 guys, and, you know, I think there's been some times where we've been a little bit underwhelmed with how things have operated this year. They're 4-1, like you said, which is good.
At the end, they've made plays to win the game.
However, that's the best way to say it. They've made enough plays to win games. Mm-hmm. They pulled one out against Lemoore. They pulled one out against Bullard. Games that, quite frankly, could have gone either way. When you have that much talent at the skill positions, before the game, you might not expect those results to be like that. And then you kind of get in the question of kind of why is this all happened? What's the cause of all this? And you kind of dig into their numbers. And, you know, they've branded themselves as Air West, and, you know, it's cool. It has some cachet to it, you know. But, you know, football, you got to run the ball. You got to run the ball successfully to set yourself up for the most success. And some of these numbers are kind of staggering when you look at it. And Clovis West, they've rushed the ball 59 times in five games. So you're talking about 12 rushes a game. You look a little bit deeper, and 17 of those are from the quarterback. So I don't know if those are design runs. Probably not all of them. Some of them are probably scrambles. So then you take away 17 from that, and you're looking at 42. So there's been 42 rushes from actual running backs in five games. That comes out to what, like 8 a game?
Yeah.
I just don't think that's a winning recipe. It's working right now because they are winning these games at 4-1, but – it's just tough, in my opinion. I think it's just tough to sustain that and win the big, tough games when you need them to if you can't really run the ball.
Yeah, Coach Eric Brown describes the offense as they're, you know, when they're hot, right?
Yeah.
And a three-point shooting type team, right? You live by the three and you die by the three.
Yep.
So they're going to live by the home run ball, by the big play. They might die by the home run play.
And that's what I want to bring up because I tell people too, I say, you know, there's going to be times where this offense looks super inefficient, and that's in the stats. I mean, they complete 45% of their passes as a team, and that's not good in any arena. It's not good, right? 45%.
Yeah.
It's less than a coin flip chance you're going to complete a pass, and that's the basis of their offense. But with all that skill talent, there's going to be games where everything is just clicking because that's what happens in sports, and it happened against Edison, and you have all those skill guys, and when you're throwing it around that much and then everything does click, they're going to blast the team. And they're going to do that probably once or twice in track play where they're going to line up, everything that day is going to click, and they're going to put 60 points on someone because that's what happens. But you know what? The numbers show that's not going to happen every game. And on the flip side, if things are south for maybe one game and you run into a team like a Clovis North, someone like that, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough sledding for sure. And, you know, they could go over the top of you. They could take a short pass and take it to the house. You're talking about Marshall Sanders committed to Fresno State, Landon Wright, Washington State. I mean, those mm-hmm. two are you know, they're D1 dudes.
100%.
And they can do it all. They got good size. They got a good range of motion. They could go up and beat you on a 50-50 ball. They can outrun you. They could stiff arm you a little bit, put you in the ground. JoJo Piero is a really good receiver as well. And Darrington, right? JD Darrington is a good little player as well. So yeah, Clovis West, they start off with Buchanan.
Very intriguing game. And those are they're two opposite style teams,
yes.
Right? You have the O-line who wants to run the ball. You have the spread team who wants to play fast break basketball essentially on a football field, right? And it's fascinating because they're two total opposite teams, and that we get them week one in the track.
I could not predict how that game's going to go, to be honest. Then they play Clovis East, then Clovis North, and then the Thursday game against Central, and then Clovis, that famous Clovis and Clovis West rivalry that it looks like it's going to be at La Monica Stadium. All right, so we talked a little bit about the teams. We broke them down. Do you have a favorite? I know we talk a lot about Clovis North. Let me go this way. Can we agree Clovis North is the favorite moving in?
They're my pick. I think they're the best team. I think they have the best scheme, and I think they're going
to
do it.
So let me flip it to you this way then. What would it take for one of the other five teams in the Central Section to beat them?
The recipe is right there. I mean, you gotta take away what Clovis North wants to do. They want to run the ball, and even if they're not successful early in the game, they're gonna keep with it. We haven't, I guess, really seen. I'm not saying they can't, but we haven't seen Clovis North get down early and maybe have to stage a double-digit comeback. So I think scoring points early might be the recipe. Try to scheme something up early, put them in a hole to where maybe you feel like you have to force them to pass. I'm certainly not predicting that's going to happen because I think the way Clovis North plays, they're not going to allow that. But I think the recipe would be just to get up early, see if you can throw the ball around. But you got to do point number one. You got to stop the run against the Broncos.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I know that one of the Clovis North offensive linemen got an offer from Fresno State, mm-hmm. 6'5", 300 pounds. Yep. And I like what you mentioned. I like the word that you used, Austin, describing Clovis North. You said they are in sync.
In sync.
We saw that. Not the boy band in sync, right? Like,
I mean,
they're in sync, but
not wrong either, though, because they rock as well.
Well, that's it. Well, we noticed that in game one when they beat San Joaquin Memorial 62-8, mm-hmm. right? We broadcast that game. Coach Hill was there. Coach Hill, he sees things that I couldn't even imagine, right?
Yep.
He sees all the little things that the common man's not able to see. So he's like, hey, Metters, look down there. Look how bought in Clovis North's offensive line is on the sidelines. They come off the field. The defense was on the field. They were all sitting there watching the monitor. Their eyes were you know, focused on the coach and the monitor. They weren't looking around. You know, those types of things matter. And when a coach and his coaching staff have the players right there in game one, mm-hmm. right, and you notice it, that stuff absolutely matters. And it helps it, what, I think, believe there's 18 seniors that get major playing time for Clovis North. But, you know, the identity now that Clovis North has – you mentioned their running game, how they're going to be tough to stop, how you're going to be ready to hit on every play. You just think of a teams and identity, you know, like Tom Donald Buchanan, you know, Coach Simons at Clovis, you know, the great Clovis West basketball coaches, you know, Wahlberg and Craig Campbell and Ron Robinson for the old school mm-hmm. guys at Woodlake, a lot of these guys. There's certain identities when you know when you're going to play this team, this is what's coming at you. So how important do you think, you know, identity with the team, knowing what they are and executing, how important is that, you know, for the confidence of a team and, you know, when the team is really, really humming?
I mean, identity and culture really is everything. When you have your team and your group of guys who are bought in on every single thing, every single year, it almost becomes like a conveyor belt because everybody knows what the standard is. This is how we do things. This is how we need to do things. This is how we play the game. All that stuff. So you just named off a ton of good coaches who were at programs where they built these unique cultures. And like I said, when you have these cultures that are in place and you have the assistant coaches who have been around forever and know the program as well, that's when you become super dangerous. And to Coach Jaycott's credit, I mean, you look at where Clovis North was when he took over.
Unbelievable.
I mean, this was a massive rebuilding job for him. And now he's starting to finally get some of that return on that investment. He's created the culture. The junior high kids know what to expect now coming up. And he's been there long enough now to where when he took over, this group of varsity players, they've seen it all. They know what it's supposed to be. And I couldn't be happier, honestly, because great coach, great family. I know maybe his wife Nicole's listening right now. And I love watching the Broncos and that culture is humming right now.
And who could have predicted that here we sit, you know, 3 years basically after COVID when they went 0-3, mm-hmm. they only played three games. They scored one touchdown in those three games and got, boat race. Let's be yep. honest. They got boat race in that final game against Central 69-0 where Clovis mm-hmm. North didn't. They wanted no part of that game.
Yeah.
They wanted no part of the game to now being the top team in the Central Section. You know, that the culture that you speak of and, you know, is certainly important in high school. And I always remember a quote from a coach. Gosh, I can't remember the college coach. But talking about Jim Sweeney at Fresno State, he was just honored last week at Fresno State in the Ring of Honor. They said, what coach scares you the most when you look across the field? And this coach could have named anybody in the history of coaching. He said Jim Sweeney. Hmm. He says, 'cause when you played Jim Sweeney, you knew that you were going to get – guys that could grind it out, guys that knew their assignments, and then that rolled into Coach Pat Hill, right? So Fresno State definitely has an identity that resonates, right? You talk to people in Oklahoma or, the Midwestern states about Fresno State, that's what they would remember about Fresno State. Mm-hmm. So identity is huge, and I know you had it going on at Buchanan, and you've experienced it. You talked a little bit about the expectations, right, mm-hmm. that could be daunting sometimes on 16-, 17-year-old kids, like, oh, man, I got to make this player. I got to do this. But however – sometimes you reap benefits from that. And I want to go back a little bit, Austin, to like those days when you played at Buchanan, right? What was it like knowing you're going to go against, a tough Clovis Unified school every day, not only in football but in baseball? You're going to get the best of the best coming after you guys.
Yeah. I mean, for so many years, and people argue still to this day, I mean, Clovis is like the best of the best, right? For athletics, they put so much emphasis on it. And, my time at Buchanan – especially the baseball program when I was involved, we trained like we were the best of the best, right? And we knew we were going to face these super high level Clovis schools, but just how we prepared, how we were put through day to day practices, made us feel like, yeah, we're going to play some really good teams, but we're going to go out and beat them because this is who we are and this is what we're about. And it goes back to that culture and that identity. When you have the right head coach and you have the right assistant coaches who are kind of molding you that way, they can get you to buy into anything. And when you buy into that mindset, like for so many years we had at Buchanan, it's dangerous and teams hate playing it because usually they lose.
Yeah. Talking with Austin Kemp, he graduated from Buchanan in 2011, was part of the national championship team, got a couple knocks in that Valley Championship game.
Did.
Yeah, I've seen the videos of that. That was a lot of fun to revisit. Do you think this year, Austin, is finally the year? I say finally, right? Well, it's been 11 years that a Clovis Unified school wins a D1 Central Section Championship, right? It's been since 2012 with Clovis North. A little bit after mm-hmm. after you graduated, Rossi and David Wells and, that great team that they had. But it's been a while, and we could go down surely go down a rabbit hole talking about zoning, and this school now gets these types of players. But do you think this is the year that Clovis Unified breaks through?
I mean, this is as good as any. I mean, there's high level teams, and there's quality and there's quantity this year. Usually – you might be looking at the track, or not even the track, just Clovis schools, and say like, okay, well, the last few years, I feel like only Buchanan had a chance. Clovis yeah. West last year as well, but you're talking in the last 5 or 6 years, I feel like, I mean, Clovis didn't really, wasn't a huge threat. Clovis East, not a huge threat. Outside of last year, Clovis West, not a huge threat. And we just talked about Clovis North, so usually there's just not many schools who have a chance. And honestly, when you look at the five Clovis schools right now, yes, some are better than others, but on the right day, if you tell me like, oh, like so-and-so is going to win the Valley Championship, I'd look at who they're playing on. Maybe on the right day, I would agree, because I just think it's such a quality conference this year. But with that said, you still got to go through Liberty, and they are the gold standard right now. And until someone knocks them off, it's hard for me to sit here. As much as I love the Clovis North Broncos this year, it's still hard for me to say someone's going to go down to Liberty and beat them, because it's no one's doing it right now when it counts.
That's why this Cal Prep's rankings, we keep an eye on it. Perhaps we talk about them too much, but they're important because that's who decides who gets home games and playoffs and who doesn't. I mean, heck, Liberty could end up being the 3 seed, right? And, mm-hmm. and those last couple games might not even have a home game. Think about it, too. The last 4 out of 5 Central Section D1 championship games have involved Central, mm-hmm. right? They lost to Liberty 2 years ago. We know what Liberty did last year. But the 3 years before that was Central, right? And so Central just – they had a reign not only in the track but in Central Section titles. And I think, you mentioned Adrian Martinez and that group. I was right there on the sidelines in that incredible overtime game between Central – and Clovis West, yeah. Adrian's junior.
I was in the stands.
You were in the stands. I was right there. Overtime, Tompkins against Martinez with the Shrams and mm-hmm. with Rodney Wright and the loaded Central teams at Central overtime. And, Trent rolled out right, in overtime, threw that pass to the front right of that end zone. Central kid caught it right there in front of me. Mm-hmm. And you could just feel just the air being taken out of, talk about the Clovis West side, obviously.
Yeah.
Central side was pumped, right? They're going to go to the championship game. But you can almost just feel a little bit, and then, you know, you couldn't predict that Adrian's going to miss his senior year, all that stuff as well. But, you know, you just feel a little bit of the air to being taken out. Like, this was a really good Clovis West team. This was could have been the team, and even next year, that could have broken through and won a Central Section title. But it just shows you that you never know what's going to transpire throughout a season in any sport, especially high school football.
No, for sure. And you know, that Clovis West team had a chance to be pretty special with all that talent, but then you kind of fast forward a few years and, you know, Buchanan had a couple years with Kendall Milton where they could have gotten it done. And one of them was in the title game and one was a loss to Liberty in the semifinals. So, you know, they've had Clovis Unified Schools have had their chances. It's, you guys got to take it when the opportunity arises, you got to take it because it's hard. It's hard, and you don't know when you're going to get that next opportunity. Just like you mentioned with Clovis West, because they had that semifinal heartbreaker, and then Adrian Martinez he misses his entire senior season. So
and Kendall too, right? Yep. You hear about Kendall Milton, this phenomenal eighth grader who had a D1 offer in eighth grade, and you see him being called up as a freshman, and you know that game against Central, right? Where yeah. It ended up being 21-14, right?
28-21.
28-21,
okay. And Kendall Milton rushed for about ballparking about 200 yards. Yeah. He didn't get a carry until it was 14-0.
Yeah.
Because they first played the game was a pick, and then they turned the ball over again. So then it's like 28-21. They couldn't really – Central couldn't really stop him that game. So then you start kind of doing the math. I don't know. It's interesting. It's about seizing that opportunity when it presents itself.
Exactly. And there's been athletes in Clovis Unify that, you know, have gone on to play D1, but just haven't broken through with that team where, you know, a bounce here, right, or a non-pick here or a pick here can change the course of an entire season. All right, great stuff, Austin. We got a few minutes here. Love talking with you, talking with Austin Kemp. Uniforms.
Oh,
you're
my gosh,
a big
uniform. Yes.
I know. Oh my gosh, we only got a few minutes. I know. Well, I know you love your uniforms.
We do. Okay. How do you want to do this?
Let's just start with this. What is when you think of uniforms in Clovis Unified in general?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are your top uniforms that pop out to you? Maybe the helmet scheme,
like
or
ever?
The color. Like ever. I'm calling ever. I'm calling God. Classics
ever?
Or whatever.
Okay, so Clovis West. I'll start with them. I like when they actually wear cardinal and gold because that's your school colors. And they had it humming for years back in, like, the mid-2000s when they had, the USC look. Sometimes they had, like, the Michigan helmet. Sometimes they had the Philadelphia Eagle helmet. And that was pristine. That was the look. And I loved it so much. I'm not sure what they do now. I've seen pictures of it. It's, like, black and white, kind of. It's just not it's not for me because it's not school colors, but back early on they had the best look in my opinion.
The Clovis Cougar classic look,
yes,
is pretty sweet.
I love their current look with the Clovis script helmet.
Yeah,
but I was a fan of when they had the old school Cougar on it. That was like my childhood. It's like the 90s and early 2000s having the Cougar on the helmet. But it's hard to mess up the blue and gold. They even though they don't have that same helmet right now, I still think the look is awesome.
How about pants? Like, what do you like? The school color pants? You like black pants? You like white pants? What do you prefer?
I mean,
does it depend on the jersey?
It depends on the jersey. Like,
okay.
Clovis High football, they wear the blue and gold. They should never wear anything but gold pants at home. I don't care what you wear on the road, but blue and gold should be off limits to not wear at home. Clovis West, you know, I can see some white pants. I can see some gold pants. I think you can mix and match that a little bit. Clovis North, when they go the all black.
Yeah, all black's cool.
That's
North.
Awesome. They debuted some like all gray last week against Jay Sarah with the black helmet. That looked pretty good too.
Okay.
And but like blue or baby blue and black, that's a mean color scheme. That's hard to screw up.
And how about we've talked about this in the past, but when Clovis East breaks out a little bit of that green, right? A little bit of that teal.
Yeah.
You like that or not? Maybe not.
I'm not a huge fan of when East breaks out the teal, I do love what they're doing right now with the silver and blue. Cause there was a few years in there where it looked a little wonky and it looks awesome right now. But I do want to go back to the Coach Murphy years at East.
Yeah.
They used to wear these all gray uniforms on the road with a navy blue helmet. Those are, my brother and I talk about this all the time, those are the best uniforms in Central Section football history. The all gray worn on the road.
Okay.
That was tough.
And they won some big games on the road.
They won a Valley title at Veterans Memorial against West with those uniforms. Go look it up on YouTube. There's a bunch of videos, and you'll see the uniforms and love them.
Central's, like, Biggs is in the uniforms, yep, too. Central's, yep, got some tasty uniforms, too.
I like, they mix and match a little bit, too, but I they're all black and they're all white on the road are still my favorites for them.
What are your favorite types of helmets across the board? Do you like, you know, the mascot on the helmet? Do you like a script? Because my favorite Fresno State helmets are like the Trent Dilfer helmets, right? Where you got
the Bulldogs.
Script Bulldogs. Give me those all day. Those are just so cool. What type of helmets do you prefer?
I honestly prefer, like, I'm a big traditionalist. I like what you've worn more, like, in your history. So whatever that is what I like the best. Yeah. So, like, when it comes to, like, Clovis West, like the Michigan-style helmet, they wore that for so many years. That's what I love. For Clovis High, I like the Cougar just because I grew up with that when I was walking around the Clovis High campus as a young one. Buchanan's kind of changed it up here and there. I do like the B because that's iconic. But I would say I like it. Whatever it's like your biggest tradition for the helmet, I like that. I like that look the best.
Bear paw for Buchanan?
It used to be that. Now it's like an actual, then they went to a B, and now they say Bears.
It's
a script. Okay. So they've kind of changed it up quite a bit.
All right. I'm cool with that. Austin, anything else? You got any more little fun facts or just anything you want to say to wrap up? This content has been great, but anything else you want to add about the track? And this could be the year, right?
This could be the year,
but things got to fall into place.
Yeah, things start next week.
Yeah.
Be tuning in every day or every week because there's going to be awesome games. And we might have to do this after there's been a few weeks played so we can revisit what we talked about, because I think we're going to have a lot to talk about on a week-to-week basis.
And I know you've hit up a track game every week so far this season, but that Clovis North and Clovis East, man, that's a banger of a game.
I'll be there next Friday,
September 29th. All right, if we're not there for some reason, be sure to get some text updates from you
for sure. Sounds good.
All right, fun stuff, my friend. Great seeing you. Great stuff. That's Austin Kemp, friend of the show, friend of me, and friend of many people all around the Central Section. Austin, thanks for coming in to First String Sports.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Dinuba head football coach C.J. Lester on remote. He's hanging out in Dinuba right now. His Emperors are currently 3-2. Always fun to catch up with C.J. Up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Yeah, so we have Raisin Day this weekend, so we always have the parade. So we like to take our boy out there, and I like to sit there and watch. And so it's always like a little tradition that we do, and taking our boy out there to the parade and seeing all the floats go by. So this weekend's a big weekend for Dinuba.
I am a Dinuba guy, right? And so
I grew up there.
I grew up going to that parade, man. I marched in that thing with the junior high Thunder T-Bird, whatever. What we were band, the marching band. They still got the marching bands there?
Oh, yeah, the marching bands are still going strong. They're probably a lot better than what they were back then, man, because they're playing a lot of new music and stuff like that. It's not your traditional marching bands anymore. So they're doing a good job out here.
What do you guys do after the parade? You guys go to the park there and get some food and grub out?
Yeah, well, we rest for a little bit, and then my son's about to go with all his cousins right now, so we kind of let him do that. And I got some games that I got to go to. Some of our kids are playing at Reedley College today, so I'm going to go check them out. And, it's a busy weekend, so I hope I can get back and go grab a funnel cake or something.
You got to have a funnel cake at the Raisin Day festivals. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's
Coach C.J. Lester, Dinuba, and you guys had taken advantage of the bye week and having some time with the family. That's awesome. I want to talk about the Washington Union game. We're going to go back a little bit to some other games, but your most recent game, that Washington Union game, you guys put together a really good second half, outscored them 28-12. What was clicking, especially in that second half in that win?
I just think we had a good conversation with our guys because we kind of went into the same situation last year when we played them. They beat us twice last year, and we felt like we were a better team, and we just couldn't get things going offensively, you know. And Our kids kind of had like that same look on their face, you know, like, here we go again. We're back where we're supposed to be. We know we're a better team than they are. We know we're ready to go, but, you know, there's just offensively couldn't get it to click. And I think offensively we put together a good game plan in that second half, and our kids just kind of got a mentality and a mindset where we're just going to run the ball and we're just going to, you know, just wear them down. And then that's ultimately what happened, like middle through the third quarter. We started seeing hands on their hips and, you know, and kind of felt like we had them where we wanted them. And we just continued to pound the football. And our quarterback made some good throws down the stretch to pull away. So, and then defensively, I felt like they played a really good game, you know, all night. They just got away with some big plays, you know, here and there. But I feel like we turned a corner, you know, offensively. And I feel like they're about to turn it up at the right time.
You mentioned how you saw their hands on their hips. You could kind of sense that. You know, you had a little bit of an advantage in that game. How tempting is it for you and your staff to try to get or to tell the kids, right, to, you know, we're not gonna get, you know, 21 points, you know, by airing it out. You're not this huge air out team. We're going to score really quickly just to grind it out. Like, guys, just make plays. Good things are going to happen. You know, how do you convey that to your kids?
Well, we just saw, you know, offensively, just like, you know what our identity is, and our kids know that. Like, we have a whole bunch of fullbacks and running backs that run hard, and they love getting the ball, and they love just, like, putting their pads on people, you know. So when you have that, when you have backs like that and you have offensive linings the same way, then they know what the deal is already. They know we're not going to throw very much. You know, we don't have, you know, the athletes like some of these other teams have, but we do have the backs that can run hard and are strong and can run downhill. So we're going to test that. We're going to test other teams and see if they're willing to go that route, you know, because I know, you know, the thing to do now is, like, you know, running the spread and, you know, the RPO, air raid, and that kind of, you know, that's kind of like the trend. And we're one of those teams who, you know, our mindset is, like, we're in the weight room, we're strong, we're physical, and we're not going to do that just to throw the ball around and expect our athletes to make plays. You know, we're gonna try to bring that to you and see if you're willing to go there too.
In that first game of the season, you're going to have a tough matchup against Sanger. You mentioned their athletes. I've seen them up close. I believe they're now up to 5 on Cal Preps. They got some dudes. Talk about that game and maybe the takeaways from that. You know, playing against a real physical team like Sanger that your guys are going to have to hit on every play. What were some of your takeaways after that first game?
Man, I didn't watch. That's crazy that you asked that, because I didn't watch. I couldn't watch that film again until this week. You know, I'm just like, I didn't put in stats. I didn't put in nothing on that game because I'm just like, I just cannot look at that game right now, you know. And so I waited, you know, to this bye week to kind of like reflect on that game and see, like, you know, what really was it, you know. And I was able to go back and just look at, you know, our defense. Our defense played really tough, you know, and we just could not get, you know, their defense is just as good or better, you know, and they're one of the top in the section. And offensively, we couldn't do nothing. So our defense was out there for a good amount of plays. And when you're playing a talented, you know, team like Sanger, and they got an offensive line that's going to wear on you just the same way we feel like our offense is going to do the same to other teams. And they got the receivers on the perimeter, and they got the running backs, you know, that can break away or just downhill runners. That's going to wear on a defense, and I think that's ultimately what it came down to. Or just looking back at it, you know, that's what I saw. Our defense is able to, make, you know, get a good amount of stops that game. It's just offensively we could not get anything going that game. So kudos to them, because they came with the perfect game plan, and they're doing a great job this year. So being able to see that and having our kids having to go through that, you know, We could look back at some of the years or the schedules that he was had, and it's nothing like what we've seen these last 2 years, you know. So seeing our kids go through that, like, I feel like that prepares them for league. You know, yeah, we can go into league, you know, 5-0 playing down against some other teams, but that, I feel like that kind of gives us a false sense of who we are. I feel like our kids need to see us play some tough teams and get to those tough times to where it's like, well, when you get in the league, it seems the same way. You're pretty much playing a playoff team every week. So looking back at that game, I feel like those are the takeaways from that game.
talking with Coach CJ Lesser, and that absolutely sounds like you. I love it. You're like, man, I don't even watch that game, but you finally ended up watching it and knowing what to do. I love that. That's typical you.
Yep.
That's great. If I told you at the beginning of the year, obviously looking at your non-league schedule, and we're going to get into some of the tough games you're going to have in the league in just a second, but if I told you guys were 3-2 headed into the bye week and headed into the league, would you be like, okay, that's cool? I mean, you mentioned, like, we don't schedule down, so you know you're going to put yourself in some tough games. But if I said 3-2, you'd be like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, no, I feel good there. You know, we felt like we could have been 3-2 or 4-1 last year, you know. So we expect to be there, you know. We expect to be, you know, in that having a winning record going into league. You know, we don't expect to go into the league on a 2-3 record like we did last year, you know. This year we felt like we could go 3-2 or possibly 4-1. And so we're at a position where we have a winning record going into league, and I feel like we're going into it at the right spot, you know, and we're turning it around at the right time.
So talk about some dudes on your team. You mentioned that you're a run heavy team. I see the last name Tuttle out there. Tuttle is a fixture in Dinuba history. You know, who are some dudes on your team this year?
Yeah. So we got Diego Tuttle, who's a big workhorse for us this year. At least 20 times a game. And then we also have Julian Ramirez, who's been a four-year player for us. Like, every year, he just continues to get better. He's been the strongest guy in our program since his freshman year. So this guy just, he pounds. And then we have another guy, Christian Bobbenreath. We brought him in last year. We had a big game against Hafford. He's running hard still. And then we have Paul Huerta, who is a transfer from Mount Whitney, who's coming over, and he's playing hard. And you know, we have guys like Raymond Florentino, who's our main fullback, who goes in there and gives us big minutes and blocks for us and runs the ball hard, because he does that all the time. When he's playing scout offense, he's running the ball hard. He's making it hard for our defense. So he does the same thing when he's in the game. So we have guys like that. And then we also have some guys on the perimeter who are ready to, you know, take off, like Christian Lopez, who can beat one-on-one coverage, and Nicholas Oliveira, who can, you know, break it open as well, who had 2 touchdowns the last game. But, you know, defensively, we have a good amount of guys too, you know. Like, all those guys are pretty much the same guys on defense outside of a few other guys, you know. So we have a few guys that go both ways, but they're ready for it. Their bodies are ready for it. They're recovered, and everyone's healthy right now, and everyone's doing well in the classroom. So I feel like they're ready to turn it on right now.
That's great, talking with CJ Lester, head coach at Dinuba. All right, so is it true 4 out of your 5 games have been away? You've only had 1 home game?
Yeah, we had 6 home games last year, so we knew that was going to kind of hurt us this year, and we're going to have only 4 home games. So hopefully we can get that schedule back on track next year and make sure we're 5-5, because I don't like the whole, you know, we only have like 1 home game, you know, our first 5 games. So,
I know, you need it for that, for school spirit and for homecoming and all that fun stuff. But I know you need that going on to get those home games. But speaking of home games, every time you come on the show, I got to talk about this because it's such a cool moment. But you guys do something that's called the Green Mile. You know, for those that have never heard of it, you know, there's nothing like it up and down the Central Valley and maybe even up and down the state. But just explain what the Green Mile is, what it sounds like, and what it looks like at home games.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have a whole bunch of motorcycles kind of line up down our walkway. And we have a painted walkway that has, like, a green strip all the way down to our entrance. And we kind of give our kids the pregame speech, go through our special teams check-in and things like that. And the kids are ready to go. You know, they tap our little sign before we head out, you know, and then they line up in their 2 lines and they walk out, and you have, you know, the first responders out there. You have the motorcyclists out there. You have, you know, our Green Mile Booster Club that's right there to, you know, shake their hand. And everyone just lined up on that line just to shake our guys' hands. And we tell our guys at the beginning of the year, you know, this is where you feel like you're a star, you know. And they're pretty much famous in the town, you know. So I always tell them, like, your actions are everything, and everyone's going to know about you, you know. So just make sure you carry yourself in the right manner. And they walk down this, and everyone's revving their motorcycles. The first responders are going too, and then they run out, and it's on and popping. So I can only imagine how those guys feel just walking down there. I feel like they get chills. And even when they start coming up and they roll up, they hear them on while they're warming up, and you know, everyone starts, you know, getting that emotion, and everything starts rising up when they hear those motorcycles come.
That's amazing. It's whenever I see that on my phone, see videos of it, it gives me chills. I think it's a great experience for your kids, and yeah, it's something that we'll remember for a long time. So you guys are playing Hanford at home.
Yes.
This Friday, we know what Hanford's doing. They got that one loss to Frontier. Right? It's no secret what Hanford's trying to do offensively.
No, yeah.
Cannon Sanchez does a great job. So what are you going to have to try? What are you going to have to do? Your defense going to have to do to try to slow down that offense?
For us, I mean, you talk about, you know, just big moments in the game, and we feel like every play is a moment in the game, and we're just going to take it, you know, play by play. We know they have athletes. They had athletes last year. Now they're better, you know, so, but we feel like our guys are prepared for this, you know, and we're going to make it one of those games where it's going to be physical. We're going to see if they're ready for that. And I know I got a lot of respect for Cannon. He's a nerd for football, just like I am. So it's always exciting to have that game because we're like those young coaches in the league too, that are trying to prove ourselves. So we have that same mindset and we're competitors at the end of the day. But for us to stop them, you know, we got to win first down and get them into some, you know, third and long situations or second and long situations. Because we all go off, you know, tendencies. We all watch film, and we feel like if we get them in those situations, then we're going to be better off, you know. But they have a whole bunch of athletes out there. I know Cannon's doing his research just like I am. We gave our film away two weeks early just so we can prepare. And I feel like it's going to be one of those heavyweight fights where, you know, they can put up points. But our main goal, you know, is to stall them and keep those guys off the field. So when we're on offense, we're going to take as much time off the clock as possible. And then defensively, we're going to try to get them in some third and long situations, and we feel like we can win in those situations. And every play, we want it to be a fight, and that's what we're going into it with.
Well, that's talking with C.J. Lester, one of the great minds in high school football, along with Cannon Sanchez. Man, that's going to be a lot of fun to keep track of that game. So, C.J., now that you guys are in the West Yosemite League, you guys moved into last year. You know, you're playing against Hanford, Tulare Western, Lemoore, Tulare Union, and Mission Oak. That's your schedule the rest of the way. Have you had to adjust your program a little bit to maybe be more physical? I don't know. I don't know exactly how to frame it, but, you know, moving from playing Kingsburg and CVC and, you know, sometimes some, you know, other schools, you know, more in your area to now moving more down south. Have you had to adjust your program in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, when it comes to, like, just athletes, man, the athletes, in this league are freaking, you know, like, just, they're really great athletes, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the guys that Hanford has, you know, the Cordae Glass, you know, the Jordan Black and JC Turner and guys like that. And then you have Tulare Union who has, you know, year to year, they can, you know, be down the next year. They just have all an influx of athletes that just come in, whether they're freshmen or sophomores that just blossom. And then Lemoore, they always have guys too, you know. And for us, like, our mindset is just like we're trying to be that outlier team that's physical, you know. And I know everyone outside of Tulare Western, I know Tulare Western now runs the wing T, but everyone was pretty much a heavy pass game, you know.
Yeah.
So our goal is to be that outlier team, that's that physical team where we're going to bring it to you, we're going to run the ball a lot and try to keep those guys off the field, because every team has athletes, you know. Even when you look at Mission Oak and Danny Gonzalez and those guys, and they got athletes out there too. So I'm trying to tell them, hey, you know, spread those guys out, send some to Danuba, because they do have some guys, man. Because like every week is a grind, you know. Just as a coordinator and offensively, we're just like, how do we do our best to limit those guys from making the big plays, because they're always they all have guys who can make the big play. But as far as adjustment, the only adjustment that we have is just like, I mean, we do lift weights every day, you know, and we do work hard, and we're doing our best to stay well in the classroom, so we have everybody available on Friday night, because playing against a team like that, you're going to need everybody.
Well, I got a couple dudes, CJ, as you well know, in my own classroom. So I got two boys. I know. I sent you pictures, man. Every Friday, I got two dudes in my classroom. I teach fifth grade in Traver who wear the Dinuba jerseys because they play in the little Emperor's division. I don't know what it's called right now, but they play on Saturdays and they are dudes, man. I got a fifth grade boy. I call him the future. He's the future. He's breaking ankles here at Traver, playing against some of our schools that they used to coach against. Fun times. So yeah, the future is bright in Dinuba, and we can't leave our conversation without. I'll give you the floor. All right, it's hard for me because I'm a Cowboys fan, right? Everybody knows that. But I got to give your Niners some love. I can give you a little open forum.
Okay.
All right. So how much better are the Niners this season with Purdy starting off the year? Like, how do you like your guys this year?
And I love it. Like, we'd always go into that first game not knowing how we would do, and when we every first game is always like up and down. Like, we don't know if we're gonna win. We don't know what we can do on offense, and that's how it was these last few years with Jimmy. You know, it's just like Shanahan starts getting real conservative with the play calling, and let's just kind of squeak by this game and call it a day. And now I feel like he has the quarterback that he wants, and now he's able to make those throws down the field and make those throws in the intermediate pass game, because there were times where Jimmy would just be scared to throw those balls, you know, and or they would get picked off or you get sacked, you know. Now Purdy's just, I just feel like he's a dude. Like, he's just out there and he's a gunslinger, and I'm not going to get hit. I got awareness in the pocket, you know, and I feel like just having that quarterback just changes our whole team. You know, the defense feels like, all right, we don't got to play perfect every game, you know, like we can play loose and play fast. And, you know, there's going to be mistakes that come along with that, but we also have a quarterback that can get us out of those situations too. It's not like where the defense makes a mistake and it's like, oh man, like we don't know if our quarterback can come back and get us back from this. So I feel like Shanahan has his quarterback that he's always wanted. And now it's time for him to take us to the promised land and win it this time.
You sound like you got a future in broadcasting, my friend, man. You broke that down perfectly. You're succinct. You know your stuff. Oh, man, we got to end our time talking. But, CJ, always fun catching up to you. You're a friend of the show. Love the texting back and forth we get. And go Emperors, right?
Yeah, man, thank you. I appreciate it, Paul. And I always tell you, man, I appreciate what you, Gabe, and everyone else does in covering the Central Section. I feel like it's an area that where people don't talk about much, but I'm glad you guys are out here doing it and making our kids feel like they're stars, man. I really appreciate you guys.
No, you bet. And talking with guys like you makes it more easy. So good luck this week against Hanford. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a small break and come back and wrap everything up on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m.
All right. That's a wrap here on Central Valley Sports Report. 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for tuning in. A lot of fun today. A lot of content. You can go back to 1430ESPN.com. If you missed any part of the show, check it out. Thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo, Austin Kemp, Coach CJ Lester of Dinuba. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's my anniversary. It's my wedding anniversary. I'm going to have a lot of fun with my wife. We got the Fresno State game that we're going to go to. So happy anniversary again to my lovely wife, Lori. Everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.